friends. Welcome to Sky House Herbs Podcast. I'm Ashley Ellenboss, a clinical herbalist, and in this space, I share my knowledge and experience with plant medicine to help you on your own journey of healing and transformation. Join me in exploring the ancient wisdom of plant spirit medicine and how it can be used to heal the body, mind, and spirit. We'll talk to experts in the field and share stories from people who've been transformed by powerful plant allies. New episodes are released each Monday, so please subscribe. And now, let's explore this mystical world of plant medicine together. Hey everyone, welcome in. Today we have a special guest, one of my friends and colleagues in the work of herbalism, Mason Hutchinson. Welcome, Mason.
Thank you so much for having me, Ashley.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this talk because there's so many things that you have as a unique, like uniquely in your own back pocket that I think a lot of people that listen to my channel would be interested to hear about and learn from. So yeah, I think we're going to have a good conversation and hopefully some really good tidbits for our listeners to walk away with.
We'll see what I can do.
Okay. Well, I want to start with your bio because I want people to know a little bit about your background. So Mason Hutchinson is the founder of Herb Rally, an herbal community hub that promotes herbalism, education, and events. He is also the host of The Herbalist Hour, a podcast and YouTube series where he interviews a diverse array of plant people. He is a husband, a proud father, an avid chess player, basketball and ping pong player, spring water gatherer, an enthusiast in the art of frugal nutrition, which I have a question about. And there was also something else that I wanted to pull from a different bio of yours, which I think is really relevant to what we'll be talking about today, which is your work as the events and outreach strategist for Mountain Rose Herbs, I think for like 11 years. Is that right?
Yeah, I worked for Mountain Rose Herbs for 11 years total, but I was in the marketing department slash events for 10 years. Yeah, so about a decade.
Yeah, yeah. So that's amazing. I mean, a lot of us who are in the herbal world know Mountain Rose and their events and their podcast. And, you know, a lot of the work you did was organizing the community events, such as the Free Herbalism Project. You went to a bunch of herbal conferences and just shared the work of Mountain Rose. And so, yeah, I think that's so important because not a lot of people have that behind the scenes experience of how you get your word out there and how, you know, how you sell and market what it is you're trying to do. So thank you for being willing to share that part of your, I know you're an herbalist as well and you practice and use herbs and medicine make, but this is kind of like, I think a unique part of a conversation that I'm really excited to have.
Yeah, I'm much more qualified to talk about that aspect of herbalism than I am about, say, like clinical herbalism or whatnot. I did take a couple of different apprenticeships at various schools, but yeah, I'm definitely much more involved on like the community aspect, I suppose.
Yeah, so let's dive into that. How did you become interested in the marketing and community organizing sphere?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say, first came the interest in nutrition, health, that whole sphere, and then it kind of transitioned into herbalism. I used to think that I wanted to be a dietitian. I was actually going to school for dietetics. I was a dietitian aide at the hospital, and then my love of herbs and herbalism just blossomed. And then I was trying to decide what I wanted to do as a career in herbalism, and for whatever reason, I had a Mountain Rose Herbs just moved from Pleasant Hill, Oregon to my hometown of Eugene, Oregon. And this is all when things were just really starting to bud for me. And I was getting really excited and I was like, well, I'm going to quit my job as a dietitian aide. I'm going to go get a job at Mountain Rose Herbs and I'm going to see what happens from there. It was shortly after that that I took my first apprenticeship at the Columbine School of Botanical Studies, also in Eugene. And so it was just kind of developing and forming my passions. And for whatever reason, I felt very called. Well, actually, I would say one of the inspirations was I started listening to a podcast called Herb Mentor Radio with the host John Gallagher. He runs Learning Herbs, still does, still hosts the podcast actually all these years later. And that was a major influence for me. I was listening to every single episode, sometimes multiple times. So I started developing these, like we were talking pre-call, parasocial relationships with all these different herbalists. And I just, I was falling in love with the plants, but I was also falling in love with the plant people, so to speak. So that was all kind of while getting a job at Mountain Rose Herbs, understanding that there was an opening in the marketing department as the events person. And I just kind of naturally fit into that role, I suppose, because I already knew a lot of what like some of the herbalism community was about. So it just kind of evolved over time. And yeah, just kind of went from there.
Yeah. Were you like a pretty social kid? Like, were you one of those kids that had like a foot in every social group? Or like, you know, how did it develop even before the professional piece?
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So I would describe myself as like the shyest kid ever, which I know a lot of people say that and sounds exaggerative, but no, I was an incredibly shy kid, especially around strangers. And I had a difficult time talking to anybody, really. I mean, except for maybe my close friends. I did have friends of all different backgrounds, you know, like you mentioned basketball in my bio. I was on the basketball team, but also, you know, I was friends with like the people who were into Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that too. So yeah, in that regard, I did have friends from different, all different types of people, but yeah, I was definitely a shy kid. And really, I would say, you know, I dealt with a lot of depression, and that's probably where my antisocial nature came from. But I reached a point when I was like maybe 18-ish where I felt like I was at a crossroads. I was like, I could either sit in a dark room, smoke weed all day and just be depressed and eat shit food and stuff like that. Oh, could I swear? Oops.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Adult audience. We're cool.
Yeah. All right. And then, or I could go the opposite route, be very proactive in my healing. And I like to think that I chose that route. So I started setting goals for myself. I started getting a lot more outside of my comfort zone. I started meeting more and more people, socializing more. And then really I realized, oh, I am a people person. So it just kind of grew from there.
Oh, isn't that interesting? I think there's two things in there. One is when you decided to make, like when the crossroads happened, how much food and nutrition propelled you into this, this next chapter of your life and kind of opened you up in a way. And wow, that's really cool. I think the other thing that's really interesting too is it's very encouraging that you were kind of a shy kid, because I think a lot of people assume that if you're going to go into marketing and outreach, you have to be this jovial, super extroverted person from day one.
Yeah. Yeah. I took, the Myers-Briggs test. I definitely ended up being on like the extrovert spectrum these days, although I kind of am in the middle, especially as I get older. I think I'm going back more towards introversion. But having the role at Mountain Reserves where I was going to herbalism events, conferences, you know, throughout the year, I just really developed that muscle. And I really genuinely started enjoying it. I love, like, my daughter laughs and gets quasi annoyed sometimes at how much I talk to strangers. Since I moved to the Midwest here in Wisconsin, I'm from Oregon, but I moved to Wisconsin, and my daughter's like, oh, you fit right in because you just talk to everybody.
I know, we're in Minnesota, and it's true. It's like, we're very chatty, very social people here in the Midwest. It's hard to actually, you know about the Midwest goodbye? Like how it takes,
yes.
It takes a long time. And then here's what I've learned you do. You go, you slap your legs, you go, well. And that's the universal, like, okay, I really do have to go now. So,
and then still another 30 more minutes, but yes, true. No, absolutely. Yeah. That happens all the time. I swear, Amanda's grandpa spends about an hour saying goodbye. So yep, it's a thing.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
So I have a question about capturing the attention of herbal people, because here's the thing about herbalists I've noticed. You know, I've been in this world for 30 plus years, and it's like, you know, a lot of herbal people are kind of fringe dwellers, you know? We tend to be kind of more in the woods and more and not wanting to be boxed in or confined or labeled. And in marketing, it's all about capturing attention, getting people to want to be in a label. And you know, it's kind of like, I'm just curious from your perspective, what do you think the key is in capturing the attention of herbal folk?
That's a really good question. I think you pointed out something, you know, really solid there, is like having a niche. I think if you're looking to, you know, market yourself to the public, it's good to be like, oh, this is the person that does that. Like, for whatever reason, the first person that came to mind is Chanchel Cabrera. When I think of like herbalists who specialize in cancer, like, she's really, you know, put herself out there. Now, granted, she also has a ton of experience, and, you know, she spent decades studying it. So she, for good reason, she has niched down and become that person. I'm not sure that answers your question, but I definitely think one of the best ways you could market yourself as a, say, an herbalist or a healer of some sort is to have a specific type of specialty.
Do you think that's something that people can enter into, or do you think it's something that you've noticed develops over time, like with Chanchal?
Can you rephrase that question?
Yeah. So just, you know, so Chanchal's, you know, she's been practicing for, you know, a long time, many years. Do you think that the niche that people can enter, I'm just thinking of like new herbalists. Do you think it's something that you can sort of choose early on, or does it require time and experience to figure out what that is?
I think what happens is you do start incredibly broad, kind of like how I did. And then over time you let your passions dictate where you go. And then you make the actual conscious decision to set a goal and then work towards that. But I think it's really wise to just be like, I'm into herbs. I'm going to go to herb school. I'm going to see what, you know, lights my fire, and then just start honing in from there.
Yeah. What do you think the challenges are to organizing plant people, and how do you work around or meet these challenges?
As far as like creating an event or just...
Well, yeah, creating an event or getting people to, you know, do classes for you. I mean, just sort of getting people to come together and to focus is, you know, what do you find to be the challenges of that work?
Let me think. I would say, first of all, I think it's important to show genuine interest in that particular herbalist. And I would say, give as much as you can first before requesting anything. I think that really goes a long way. I mean, when people feel welcome and like you actually genuinely care, they're going to want to reciprocate in some way, shape, or form. So I'm not sure if that actually answers your question, but I think developing actual, like, there's the term, what is it, networking, like, oh, I'm going to this event to network, but it's like, that just feels so shallow to me. I think the key to having great relationships is to be as non-judgmental as possible, as to give as much as possible, and just be patient as you develop these relationships over the course of time.
I think that is a perfect answer to that question. I love
you.
Let's talk a little bit about Herb Rally, because I know that's one of your children. What is your personal mission with Herb Rally? And I want to hear kind of the why, like why Herb Rally?
Yeah. So as we talked about, I was the events person for Mountain Rose Herbs, and I was looking for a website where it listed all of the herbalism events in the United States and the world for that matter. And I couldn't find one. I found various websites that would list the major conferences. But when I was first getting into herbalism, one of my favorite things to do was to go on the local community plant walks. And I didn't see like an events calendar for that. So I wanted to create a website that shared all of the herbalism events with everybody so they could benefit from something like that as well. I think it's great to go to an herb school, whether online or in person. But if you're just wanting to get out, meet other plant people, and hang out with the plants, you know, for an extended period of time, one of the best things you could do is actually go on a plant walk. And so the original mission of Herb Rally was to create a space where people could find all of these different events throughout the US. It's grown throughout the years. So now Herb Rally is just much more. I would say the mission of Herb Rally is to get people out in the woods, which ironically, I've never spent so much time behind a computer. I'm hoping to get to the point where there's a lot more like balance in that, you know, and maybe it's because we're still in winter time where it feels like I'm just stuck inside all the time. But for the listener, we're recording this at the end of February, and here I am in Wisconsin. It just snowed this morning. So I would say the mission is, for one, to get people out there to learn about all of the different amazing, incredible plant people and herbalists that are out there. But also selfishly, it's what my soul is telling me I have to do, which is kind of a weird way to put it. But I put off creating Herb Rally for a year or two. I mean, I had the idea in my head forever, and there was always this sense of anxiety or feeling like I wasn't doing what my soul was telling me to do. And that kind of just created this like sadness in me. And I just realized I need to do this because this is what I feel like the spirit is calling me to do, if you will.
Mm. And it has grown. I mean, it is now like, it's one of the places I send my students for reliable herbal information. You have monographs, there's articles and recipes. You've got the Herbalist Hour podcast. I mean, it has become like really, I think in the herbal world here in the US, it's like the central hub that has pretty much, it's like a one-stop shop. It kind of has everything. So, and cool. How long has Herb Rally been, how long has it been in creation?
So yeah, I started it in May of 2015. So this May will be what, 9 years?
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to pick your brain for some sort of zeitgeist community mind stuff. So what are you noticing that's in the zeitgeist now? Like what topics, what things seem to be on people's minds or an herbalist's minds and topics? And yeah, what are you noticing? Any trends or patterns?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was actually kind of thinking about this the other day. I feel like ancestry is coming up all of the time, which also coincidentally, I'm like feeling called in that direction too. I don't know why that is, but it's really interesting. Everyone that I'm talking to seems to be really wanting to dive deep into their own ancestry and their like lineage as far as it relates to, you know, healers and their family history and whatnot. So that really does feel like on the zeitgeist. Would you say you agree with that, or do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, that's it. I think absolutely that, you know, actually my grandmother's coming over tomorrow. She's 93. She's Sicilian. So a little island off the coast of Sicily. And she's going to come to my house and we're doing a sound story where she's going to be professionally interviewed to capture her whole life story and her time
that's
in Sicily.
Awesome.
And yeah, and have that. So, and I think, you know, from my husband's work as an astrologer, you know, Pluto's been very much aspecting Mars and Venus. And, you know, there's a lot of Pluto is like the deepest parts. It's like the DNA. It's like the very deep, blueprint, right? And the riches, it's like Pluto is the god of richness and riches, but not like money, but like the deeper riches, which I think our ancestors are. They're like a deep source of wealth. And, Pluto's also moving, into the sign of Aquarius, which is like kind of higher mind community, activism, you know, kind of like, so I think that there is, I think people are starting to, I've noticed that too, that there's a deep call for bringing out ancestral wisdom. And I will say this too, of understanding other people's ancestral wisdom.
Yep. Totally.
Yeah. Like a lot of interest in like shaman, like what are the ancestral teachings from other tribes that might not necessarily be mine?
Yeah, I just interviewed Nathan Wright a couple days ago. He's a Native American spirit man from the sun. You can find him on YouTube. But we delved deep into his lineage, and I was just captivated the whole time, just following along his journey. And on Zoom, about a couple weeks ago, I interviewed a herbalist and naturopath named Kara Gwiz. And she was telling us all about her Polish grandma, and I just couldn't get enough. I just wanted to keep. We could have probably talked 2 hours just about her grandma. So yeah. That's just fascinating to me.
That's great. And out for those who are listening, I'm going to include links to the Herbalist Hour and Herb Rally in the description on YouTube. So if you want to get direct links to these different things, I know maybe these talks might not be out yet, but I'll put you to the Herbalist Hour podcast so that you can find it when it comes
Thank
out.
You.
Yeah, of course. So what is ahead for you in Herb Rally? Do you have any visions for where you want to take it next? Or is it more kind of in the maintenance phase or maintenance zone?
Well put. I like that. It's definitely in the maintenance zone. And there's other projects that we're really excited about. But just to speak on the maintenance aspect of it, you know, working at Mount Rose Herbs for 11 years, I had a steady paycheck getting, you know, paid every 2 weeks from a company. It was very, there was a lot of security in that. And then we left, so Amanda's the co-owner, she's my wife. And we both left, she worked for Mountain Reserves for 4 years as the creative and videographer, photographer. And we both left about around 2.5 years ago, I want to say. And it's interesting running a business and just really wanting to like make it work. So yeah, we're just we're trying to make this whole business thing work. So in that regard, the maintenance aspect is definitely true. We're in the process of creating a book, which I'm not necessarily going to announce specifically what it is yet, but we're going to self-publish it. Incredibly excited. It's very similar to a lot of the other projects we do here at Herb Rally. It's very community oriented. I have, just like Herb Rally, I sat on the art of frugal nutrition for a long time, and we did start that about a year ago, but I want to greatly expand it and do a much better job with it. So I'm excited for that. And this is kind of peripherally related to Herb Rally. It's going to be different, but we just for funsies and to flex our creative juices, we're going to start like a products line. But that's more just because it seems fun, and it's going to be super small scale and probably just hyper local to our area. But yeah, something we're looking forward to.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Yeah. And I'm glad that we circled back to the frugal nutrition piece, because I was curious about that. So that's sort of your work in the nutrition and dietetics world. Is there a book coming out for that, or is that just more like a project?
It's funny you say that, because one of the reasons I put off doing this project for so long was because I thought it had to be like this perfect written book with all of the things done all at once. But then I realized with most of the things in my life, at least, I feel like starting small and growing it from there. And that's why we just kind of created it to be this free video course on the website. A book is definitely in the future, but no, that's not the book I was referring to earlier. That'll be something separate.
I see. Yeah. But it'll be more like a course. It's going to be a course format that people can take.
Yeah. So the Art of Frugal Nutrition is actually live right now. We have, I want to say, 5 or 6 modules already on there. So we got dumpster diving, eat your weeds. We've got fermentation, nourishing herbal infusions. Oh man, I should know all these off the top of my head. Oh, the spice apothecary. And then one other one I'm forgetting right now, but yeah, so it's technically live right now. People can register for it, and it's available at herbrally.com/frugalnutrition. But yeah, someday, that's the thing, is we want to add more modules, just make it bigger and better and cleaner and just a better user experience. And then maybe like 10 years down the road, we'll write a book.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'll include a link to that too, so folks can find that course. Because, you know, my husband and I were really into nutrition as well and clean eating. And we both lift weights, like I lift weights 5 days a week, and
totally.
So yeah. You know, nutrition's so important, so that's a great resource, because you really can't get strong, you can't build muscle and maintain, you know, really optimum health without the food piece.
Amen to that.
As much as I love herbs, you know, like you gotta have the nutrition down too.
Yeah, what herbs get you buff?
I know, right? Like there's, yeah, like the one pill, just take it. I wish.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. So then I guess my last question is, your favorite herbs that you're using now, and kind of like, how do you pick herbs that you need like for certain periods of time?
Yeah, so I kind of have my tried and true that I've had for years, and the Herb Rally audience, you know, they've heard me say this ad nauseum, but I have oat straw infusion almost every day, or some sort of nourishing herbal infusion. So oat straw, nettle, I actually really like hawthorn leaf and flower infusion. Linden infusion is also a fave of mine. Usually what I'm drawn to are the super nourishing ones with a like uplifting bent, because I like veer towards depression and stuff. I'm not saying this cures depression. What I'm saying is that I prefer uplifting herbs, lemon balm. So yeah, I'm definitely drawn to that. I take a little bit of St. John's wort tincture every day. An herbalist buddy, Kelsey Barrett, she recommended that for me and my general constitution. And then like I said, pre-call as well, I had a little bit of blue vervain. It's definitely one of my plant allies. And it's funny to read like the description. It's for people that make lists, that have lists, that have lists. I'm a list maker, and so it's definitely good for me, calming the nerves and stuff like that.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's always nice to kind of peek under the hood of herbalists that I bring on and just say like, you know, what are you into? And, you know, yeah. And it just kind of helps broaden our understanding of how the plants work in people, 'cause that's so important.
Totally.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Mason, for coming on today and talking about the zeitgeist, kind of what's in the air, how to work with herbalists. I love the idea of help, you know, really thinking about your niche and what, you know, what is your unique calling, your unique voice. You know, if for people that are out there listening who want to start their own herbal work, you know, and I think you're a great example of, you know, taking some steps, right? Like choosing the path and then taking your time, because it took you 10 years to get where you are now. You know, this is not like, I think in the herbal world, it's not like an IT job where you can just land, you know, you can land in Silicon Valley. Like in the herbal world, it's like a garden. It's like, you have to establish yourself, and it takes a lot of time and work to get established in the herbal world. And you're just, I think, a shining example of what good soil and time and patience and good community. And I think your reciprocity spirit is just, it's a real gift in the community, and you're a real, I think, shining light to what herbalists can do. So thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you so much. That really means a lot to me. I'm getting goosebumps all over. And I always say this too, 10 years is the name of the game. Patience is the name of the game. That's why, one of the reasons why I think it's good to have a day job while you pursue herbalism is so if you do have a steady paycheck, you do feel more of the ability to be able to give without, like, you know, making any sort of like drastic financial moves or anything like that. Just be patient with it, work it out, set a goal, you know, and continuously work towards it. So thank you so much. Do you have time for me to ask you one quick question?
Sure.
I just want to know, what do you feel your niche is in the herbal world?
Ah, yeah. I mean, I think it's sort of, I think there's a few places where I really enjoy spending time. I think one is addiction and recovery. You know, I'm getting some advanced certification right now in holistic and wellness-based addiction therapy work and counseling. And right now I'm working teaching yoga at a women's addiction center. And I hope to maybe start to bring the plants in. But that's an area I feel Amazing. Passionate about from my own history, my family history, talk about ancestral.
Right.
Stuff there. And then I also think plant spirit medicine. You know, I just... since I was a little girl, I've been talking to trees. You know, I'm one of those weirdos. And, you know, and now I feel like I have this, I've studied the science and I've studied the clinical piece to kind of, I think, couch it in a little bit more of a rational place. But I think at my heart, and as my little girl heart, has always just been one who, lives among the plants. So I think that's something I love to share with people, is how to be and open yourself to that childlike mind so that you can really be in the plant world a little bit more. So thank you for asking.
Sure. Of course. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm excited to, you know, get to know you more, because you're going to be on the Herbalist Hour here in a couple months. We'll get to hang out in person and the Minneapolis area. So very excited for that. But yeah, thanks for indulging me.
Yeah. So everyone stay tuned for more from Mason with his work with Herb Rally. I'll include all of the links in the description. Check them all out, bookmark and subscribe to his podcast, because he has amazing people on. Jesse Wolf Harden is definitely one to check out, that I share a lot of his work. And we'll be seeing you. We'll be seeing you at the Herbal Medicine. Are you going to be at the Confluence this year?
Still yet to decide that. So
still
we'll
to
see.
Decide. Okay. All right.
But I'm gonna promote the heck out of it though. So
awesome. Thank you for that. Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mason.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for watching the video. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Mason. Just a few little things before we close for today. The first is, if you haven't subscribed yet to my channel, please click the subscribe button. Please allow for notifications so you can hear about new talks. And if you liked this, please share it or give it a thumbs up. Thank you. The second thing is, our Herbal Apprenticeship Foundations course is now live. You can register and study herbs with me and with a really bright community of herbalists. I'm going to go over to my website now to show you a little bit more about the course and how you can enroll. So we're going to go to, this is the Sky House Herbal Foundations Apprenticeship page. Just click on here from the homepage to learn more. And you can learn about the 12-month program, see if it's a good fit for you. You can read about the course highlights, which include 2 plant diets per module. So we'll be looking and learning about plants through comparing and contrasting them. You'll get journal exercises, medicine making, 11 live Q&A sessions with me. So at the end of each module, we'll meet together live online to talk about the module and answer your questions. And the course will cover a variety of topics, everything from what is herbalism, the basic of herbal medicine, to more in-depth conversations about energetics and how do we understand hot, cold, damp, and dry? How do we understand the tissue states? How do we understand chemistry and the way plants work in the body and how we can understand and learn chemistry really easily just by using our taste buds? We'll also cover topics of physiology, including digestion, immunity, reproductive health. We'll talk a little bit about how to do an intake and ask the right questions to get to the right plant, and a whole bunch more. So you can read through the course modules, learn about all of the different things that we'll be covering in our time together, and also the live dates for our classes. And even if you miss these dates, it's no big deal. You can join anytime and just join in the live classes when you can. These are the different options for payment. We have an early bird special going right now until March 25th, where you can get the program for $9.99. You can also apply for our need-based tuition. So if you're out of work, you're on disability, you're a single parent, you can join the course at different discounted rates. And that includes both one payment and also 12-month payments that are at a substantial discount depending on your eligibility. So if you want to learn more about that, click on apply for tuition assistance. You can fill out this form, tell us a little bit about what's going on for you, and we'll give you some choices so that you can study herbs with us starting very soon. So thank you. Please feel free to reach out with any questions. If you have any comments for or questions for Mason, you can also post them here. And any questions about the course or about Sky House, I can answer as well. So thank you all for watching, and we'll see you soon.